Welcome to the Follow Well Company Ignite Leadership Podcast Series, where we have great conversations with leaders from around the globe. Today, our special guest is Dr. Doug Noop. Dr. Noop is an executive medical director at Charlotte-based HealthStat Incorporated, one of the nation's largest providers of employer-based on-site health and wellness centers. A graduate of the University of Kentucky College of Medicine, Dr. Noop did his postgraduate surgical training at North Carolina Baptist Medical Center of Wake Forest University College of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He is board certified in otolaryngology, head and neck surgery. He earned his master's degree in healthcare administration from the University of Kentucky and subsequently awarded the Washington, D.C.-based David A. Winston Postgraduate Fellowship in Health Policy. He has worked as the medical director for multiple major insurers, including Cigna and Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. He is a fellow or member of numerous clinical academies and societies, including the American College of Surgeons, American Academy of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery, the Society for Head and Neck Surgery, Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Medical Society, and the North Carolina Medical Society, and the former American College of Physician Executives, now known as the American Association of Physician Leadership, which he earned the Certified Physician Executive recognition. A Louisville, Kentucky native, Dr. Noop and his family now reside in Raleigh, North Carolina. So let's welcome to the Ignite Leadership Series, Dr. Doug Noop. So Doug, tell us a little bit about yourself.
As you mentioned in the bio, went to medical school at the University of Kentucky, and then did my postgraduate training in otolaryngology, head and neck surgery in Winston-Salem. Met my wife there, actually. Carolyn was a nurse anesthesia student when I was an ear, nose, and throat resident. That's where we met, and she ended up joining me when I went back into practice in Lexington, moved to town, and we got married. We'll actually celebrate our 39th wedding anniversary in about a week. We have one daughter and a beautiful year and a half old granddaughter. As you probably know very well, I sort of like fishing and spending time with my family. And I have thoroughly enjoyed my ins and outs of my career over the years as both a practicing physician and then a executive. So life is interesting.
Doug, what were some of the factors that really led you to make the move from being a practicing physician to a physician executive?
I first started thinking about things when managed care, the old HMOs as we know it from about 30 years ago and more, really became a big part of the practice, an outside party stepping in to the clinical practice. And I began asking a lot of questions and becoming very interested in what was driving that sort of model. And of course, I think we all recognize it was all an issue of money, pretty much, and quality of care and service. So as I looked at that more and more, about in the late 80s, early 90s, several of my associates went back to graduate school while they were practicing and got their MBAs. And when I decided to make that move, the MHA degree, master's degree in healthcare administration, sort of burst onto the scene. So when the master's degree in healthcare administration became a bit more known, the University of Kentucky, as you know, started their own program in that. And I enrolled in that in 1990, finished in 93, did the health policy fellowship, and had every intention of going back into clinical practice. Then a couple of things happened. I got some job offers and ended up working for a couple of, well, one HMO basically, but things changed very rapidly in the healthcare field, and HMOs and managed care as we used to know it went by the wayside, of course, and evolved into sort of whatever the system is that we have now. And I sort of enjoyed the transition from the old HMO, actually reviewing charts and making approvals and denials and so on, to much more of a focus on quality of care and quality of services and outcomes and so on.
You know, this podcast is all about leadership. So tell us about some of those leadership principles that have really, you feel, have helped you to excel in your career.
That's been another thing I've really enjoyed about the transition from clinical care. You know, it's an entirely different interpersonal relationship between a physician and their patient and a physician as a leader of others who may more or less be peers. I consider my coworkers, even if they're folks that technically report to me or that I'm responsible for, I consider them as my peers. And I try to be a teacher and a leader in the sense of setting an example of what I believe to be ethical and appropriate for the people that we serve. And in the capacity that I'm in now, as well as when I was a medical director, for instance, at Blue Cross and Blue Shield, I tried to never forget the fact that I was still basically dealing with patients, except at considerable arm's length. But the respect that I try to have and the kind of open dialogue that I try to have with my folks is what's important. It's amazing how much I still learn from young people that work with me. I think just being a listener makes you a great leader. I think people deeply appreciate being listened to. Doesn't mean you always have to agree or that they're always right. But then again, I'm not always right, I'm sure.
All of us face those times in our lives where we don't live up to others' expectations or our own expectations. You know, one of my favorite stories is from Thomas Edison, where he said, you know, I didn't fail. I just learned 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. And so what are some of those stories or experiences that you've had throughout your career or in your life where you didn't live up to your own expectations or the expectations of others, and you've moved on to experience the success that you have?
Yeah, let me count the ways. Let's see. There was one episode that does tend to stick out in my mind, and it was when I was in a particular company and we were trying to structure a revised health services department, and some of my cohorts that were truly my peers at the level we were, I definitely had a minority opinion of various aspects of that restructuring. In retrospect, I believe I took a very confrontational approach as opposed to a constructive approach with my peers. And that became very unpleasant for myself and the others. I subsequently regretted having sort of taken that position. And I realized that I knew better. I realized I knew better, but I felt so forcefully about my position that I wasn't really able to see it from their perspective. And I was definitely outnumbered in terms of the people that felt a certain way when I felt differently. And I looked back on it and felt like I really mishandled that and sort of botched that. I have tried never to repeat that mistake and to have tried to enhance my constructive, collegial approach to even the smallest of details and certainly anything that's a major issue. So I think, you know, we all have shortcomings and failures. And I think all of us realize that that's okay. We're only human. We just need to sort of try to learn what the lesson is from that failure.
Yes, it's not the experience that we learn from. It's the reflection upon that experience where we really learn life's greatest lessons.
Yeah, I agree.
Doug, you've already commented that listening is a great leadership principle in your opinion. Can you give us a few other leadership principles that you really have found to be important in your life and in your style? And then a follow-up question to that would be, if you could give a younger version of Doug Knoop advice, what advice would you give?
Yeah, no, I definitely think I have learned and changed as I've gone through the second phase of my career, that is the non-clinical physician executive phase. I still deal with clinical issues, of course, but not on a patient-to-patient basis. As far as leadership, as I say, I try to make sure that people don't think, but that they know that I am listening to them. And I have become very competent, I believe, in terms of saying why I may respectfully disagree, or conversely to say, you know, I had not thought about that aspect. That's a superb point. And people just absolutely love to know, we all do, that somebody's listening to you. That's why I think we get frustrated with Washington, D.C. and our government officials at various levels. I think a lot of times we feel like we're not listened to as people. So I try to be a listener. I try to also be a mentor to some of the up and coming people who knows, someday they may be my boss, but they're going to be somebody's boss, and try to lead by example, as I say, to make sure they know that they're being listened to, but also respected and encouraged to not make the mistake I did, for instance, of taking a confrontational or obtuse approach, but to try to always be constructive. And I try to be respectful, regardless, obviously, of race or gender or any kind of other orientation. I do not judge people on that. I'm looking only for how we relate as co-workers and how we are accomplishing what we've decided we have set out to do. And I don't think there's anything in what I've said that's somehow revelatory. I think there are concepts that we can all pretty much agree on. I don't think I have any magic formula. I think they're just sort of common sense principles. With regard to that second part of the question you asked about the advice I would give to the younger Doug Newt, I would say, if I think back to when I was first considering medical school, say at the end of my undergraduate career or so, I would say just try to be focused on your goals and know what you want to do. I think, unfortunately, I don't think it's new to young people today, but there seems to be more of an uncertainty in terms of where they want to go in life. And that's not unusual for somebody that's 20 or 22, 23 years old. But I would say you do have to look inside and think about where you want to go, what you want to do, what you want to be. And then I would say, don't be impulsive, but I would say definitely act on your gut and trust yourself to do the right thing. And then, you know, you have to take the steps to do that. If you think you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or a banker or whatever, you have to figure out what the steps are to get there. And so that takes a little serious thought and planning. I think in general, I did an okay job of that. But, you know, I will share with you and your folks on the podcast here that I actually was accepted to medical school in 66, but I actually didn't go because I wasn't ready. And I had to do some further thinking and actually spent some time in graduate school and considering my future. And it didn't take me long to realize that indeed medical school was what I wanted to do. And so that's why I say you don't have to be impulsive. You do have to give it serious thought. And things have worked out very well for me. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
You've had a very successful life and career. What's the next chapter going to look like for you?
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll fish more. And maybe even with you, maybe you and I can fish together some more. But yeah, I do see life as ongoing, and I'm enjoying very much what I do now. I have really become really committed to the quality improvement within our company to better serve our clients and our patients. And I enjoy looking at outcomes data and trying to see where the opportunities are to improve that. I want to definitely spend time and enjoy my grandchild, and hopefully there'll be additions to that number, and enjoy my time with my spouse as we find some things to do here later in life. So, you know, I think there's always something new ahead, and sometimes you never know what's around the corner.
I know you're an avid reader, so what are one or two of your favorite books? And secondly, have you considered writing your own book?
I have a lot of favorite books. I usually am working on two or three books at any given time. You know, actually, one of my very favorite books ever was a book by Alan Drury, I think it was, Advise and Consent. It was copyright maybe 1958. And if any of your listeners want to read a very interesting book that was sort of almost bordered on a little scandalous at the time and really revealed the gutsier workings of Washington, D.C. and politics up there with some drama thrown in, I would say find a copy of that book. I still have my original paperback copy that I read in about 62. But it remains one of my favorite books, and I have recently reread it for about the third time. And then I like to read history. I'm a real fan of ancient history and World War II military history. And have I ever thought about writing a book? I dare say all of us have probably thought about it. I wouldn't know what to write about exactly, and I'm afraid I'd be a boring writer. But what I do like to write are very short stories. A few that I have scribbled out have involved outdoors sort of things, fishing, hiking, because I love the, as you know, I love the outdoors and think that the things you see that are so gorgeous are just part of God's beautiful world. And I like to share some stories or some things that I've experienced, sometimes alone, sometimes with my friends, from the outdoors. So, you know, who knows? Maybe someday a book. I doubt it.
Well, Doug, I really appreciate you being on the podcast today. Any closing comments or thoughts that you'd like to leave with our audience?
Well, I've enjoyed it, Rob. Thanks. I hope this has been somewhat helpful to you and to your listeners. Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate the things that I've said, I think that as a leader, you have to consider your fellow workers as your peers, even if you're the leader, and listen to folks and respect people. And as I've mentioned regarding my personal disappointment, take a constructive, collaborative approach to issues and just work together.
That is great advice for all of us. Well, Doug, I want to thank you for being on the podcast today. I also want to tell you that I'm going to take you up on going fishing.
Good.
And I look forward to reading that book one of these days. So this is Rob Folliwell for the Folliwell Company and the Ignite Leadership Series. Thanks for joining us today.